people. This is the Starship Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlancis for another day. Broadcast yes. Insolence. Interesting. Interesting day.
Another day, a lot to get to today. Yeah. The Supreme Court alone handed down. Ton of interesting stuff.
A couple of things, actually. One is getting all the attention, obviously, is the travel ban.
Sure.
But there were a couple of things that happened there today that are that affect our little world, and Mike Monaco will be here to explain it. And tomorrow they're about to hand down a landmark decision as well concerning unions.
Right, based on an Illinois case, one that brought Governor Rauner to the nation's capital to try to petition on behalf of that person.
What are you, Kevin Powell now? Our nation's capital? Whenever he's covering a game in Washington?
I was going to say to the capital, but obviously for the governor, it would be Springfield. I wanted to say distinguished there. But you're right.
It makes it sound better, doesn't it? It's called crystal clear reporting
from our nation's capital. All right, listen. I
think we should refer to every state in terms of, or every place in terms of that its nickname, you know? Like
what is Illinois' nickname?
What is our
Land of Lincoln? Oh, no.
Land of Lincoln would be one, sure. We should try to get in the habit of doing that.
So it has to be a license plate?
Yeah.
Georgia's the Peach State?
Yeah, something like that.
Indiana's Pray For Me or something like that? Is that what it says? Indiana's got a bunch of them now.
Indiana's, what's that smell?
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, for sure. You have the Yellowhammer State, which is Alabama. Last Frontier, Alaska. Grand Canyon State for Arizona. It's kind of like a Miss America competition when they do that in the beginning.
All right. And the president taking a victory lap today from the travel ban decision by the Supreme Court and for his choice of Neil Gorsuch and all that. So it's a good day over at the White House for him. As a matter of fact, he said, in the only way that the president can, I am right and you're wrong. Na, 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 boo, boo.
Pretty close.
The ruling shows that all of the attacks from the media and the Democrat politicians are wrong, and they turned out to be very wrong. And what we're looking for as Republicans, I can tell you, is strong borders, no crime. What the Democrats are looking at is open borders, which will bring tremendous crime. It'll bring MS-13 and lots of others that we don't want to have in our country. It'll bring tremendous crime.
So they can be the very best or the very worst. If you go with him, it's the very best. If you go with anybody else, it's the very worst. It's like a real estate transaction, isn't it?
It's always 0 or 100% too.
Yeah, there's nothing in the middle. The thing is that the travel ban, this was the third travel ban piece of executive order that he gave. The first two were just Muslim countries,
right?
And then he added Venezuela and North Korea to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then changed also what some of the statuses were of the people. This is where it wasn't that he did it. His lawyers did it. His lawyers are like, well, here's something that we think will pass constitutional muster. And they got it through. They did it.
That's
and it was by not making it purely about Muslims. And they make it clear, the Supreme Court in the decision, in the winning side decision, they make it clear that they do not endorse the idea of a religious or cultural ban. And that's the important thing. They actually, you know, what they did in this decision today is they clearly contradicted an earlier decision by the Supreme Court, said it was unconstitutional. They ruled on the original Japanese internment decision that was made in the 1940s by the Supreme Court that allowed the U.S. government to intern to basically lock up.
Yeah.
American citizens.
Tens of thousands of
American
citizens.
And the Supreme Court today, there's a silver lining in all of this today, regardless of your political stripe. The good news is that in their decision today, they said it is unconstitutional to do that.
Right. And Chief Justice Roberts made that very clear, that he thought interning your own American citizens is different than addressing the vetting of those coming to your country. And there is a focus on adequate vetting, meaning that countries could get off this list of the ban if they improve their vetting. And there are some countries who have already done that.
Right. Now, where's North Korea on this? Because we're best friends with them. See, this whole thing started.
Get Dennis Rodman on this.
A year ago, and now we got to decide. Oh, hey, no, we're just kidding. No, don't get mad at us, Kim Jong-un. No, no, no. We say you could. Anybody who wants to come in from your side comes right in. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
It's a friends and family plan.
Yeah, that's what we got. That's what we got now.
I think some of his family might want to get out of there because he's not very good to his family members.
That is true.
He might want to make the bolt over to the United States. Try to get in.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's where we are. Oh, you know, Brett Baer will explain all of this to us from the Fox News Channel. He's coming your way after 3:40 this afternoon, right here on this very radio program. Demetrius Ivory is going to join us. Big, heavy weather moving through the Chicago area, starting right now into the evening and throughout the night. It's going to be flash flooding. There's going to be all kinds of other crazy stuff. And Demetrius will get us all caught up. And I was giving Demetrius such a good grade.
Yeah, you were yesterday.
Yesterday for the week, the way it started. And today looks lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But he's about to take the hardest test of his career.
Ooh.
Coming up right after this. Let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, which is it?
You know what I mean.
Okay.
At 3:30?
Coming up at the bottom,
yep.
The nation's largest Muslim advocacy group calls it a sad legacy.
All right, Violetta.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
No big deal. Joe Donlin's our best friend.
You and Kev's new BFF. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Has he been checking in with you regularly since you played golf with him 3 weeks ago?
I don't think he has to. I think he knows.
he thinks about us all the time.
Yeah, I can tell just by watching and viewing his eyes.
Feeling the love.
Yeah, I can tell.
I think he forgot all about you guys.
I don't think so.
Like texting him, hey, you know, want to have dinner?
And he's like, who is this?
Right, he's like, lose my number. Right now, Demetrius Ivory, who has no choice but to talk to us, is joining us from the Channel 9 newsroom, and it's all brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. All right, Demetrius, you know, you were doing so great yesterday, and now, and it looks beautiful right now downtown, but the heavy weather is heading in from the west.
Well, I should have done terribly yesterday and then kind of set the bar low. That's how I got here. That's how I kind of guided my whole career.
Something to
set
that.
Set the bar low, and then when you don't mess up, people are like, let's promote that guy.
I like the way you think.
So things are definitely going to turn stormy into this evening. We are looking at showers and thunderstorms, maybe even some severe storms later today. The good news is the rain earlier this morning, the cloud cover earlier this morning, really just kind of knocked our instability down. I know that you talk with Tom regularly, so
yes.
you know the deal, right? That works.
Yes, absolutely.
So we are expecting expecting some thunderstorms, but probably not the widespread severe thing that everyone was worried about earlier this morning.
Because we didn't get that good, like the sun up in the sky, heating everything up.
Oh yeah, well, if we warm up into the mid 80s and all that, no little tiny breeze, then that's when you start to have problems. But right now, we're looking at thunderstorms. Maybe some of them could be severe into this evening, but again, probably not a widespread thing, and they probably won't be as strong as they could have been had we had a full day of sunshine.
See, right. I don't know if do you think he's just doing this to try to get a better grade?
Come on, this
he's
is just telling us
working
what
it
we want to hear.
He is. Yeah. Maybe you should tell him to bring the blinds down in about an hour from now, when then we won't really see that the storms are passing through here. Yeah. Where are they now, though, Demetrius? Because I saw Ben Bradley was posting some pictures of the storms outside the
area. Right now, they're in the Rockford area, generally west of I-39. They're moving northeast, so the storms that are on the ground now aren't going to actually hit Chicago. They're going to be north and west of the city.
Right.
But I think between 4 and 7 and potentially even up to about 9 o'clock, that's going to be the period where we're talking about storms even making their way into the city. Heavy downpours, certainly the potential for flash flooding. A flash flood watch is in effect until 1 a.m. Strong winds potentially, and you know we do have the type of scenario that I think would be more favorable to spinning up a tornado than what we've seen in some of our last storm events. But again, you got to get the big thunderstorms before you get tornadoes, and right now we're not seeing them.
That sounds like a telethon back there. Have you noticed that? The phones are ringing. I haven't heard an actual phone ring a bell.
I think this is my first time doing the newsroom, and I mean, these people.
They work hard.
Everybody's pretty active.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Do you have real phones back there?
We do have phones. We have
phones that are like a real dinger ringer
like
thing.
This is ring, ring, ring.
This is old Tribune stuff. We have phones, and they're from like 19, 40-something.
Cliff Mercer actually would answer those phones.
They have actual answering machines on them, you know, with the tape and everything.
But it is,
there's a lot going on back here. I don't know.
Busy news day, I suppose.
Yeah. I think that's what you do. You keep the appearance that everybody's really busy in the weather center.
They just do this for hit, and then it goes back to being
quiet.
Exactly,
the camera's on.
Then they grab some lunch and chat in the break room.
I worked in the first live television newsroom in Chicago, and that is exactly what we would do. Is that when the shows were on and the cameras were on us back in the newsroom, we were all really, you know, diligent and doing things and getting on the phone. And then I did a thing where I got on the phone, and I was on the phone. I put my feet up on my desk. I'm on the phone, and I'm in the deep corner, and I'm taking my pencil, and I'm actually moving it in and out of Bill Curtis's ear, it appears, from a long distance behind. And then never forget this. I was just doing it to see if I could get away with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't. The director caught me. The director comes storming out of the control room, which was also in the newsroom back then, and at Channel 2, and starts yelling, "What are you doing? I see what you're doing!"
And you were doing this for pay? I mean,
yeah, I know. I was getting paid to be there, yeah. I was a kid. What did I know?
Well, you mentioned telethons. I've done a number of telethons, and you know how the phones are always ringing off the hook whenever...
Yes.
But and then you guys, I'm sure, have done some.
Yeah,
the phones
yeah.
don't ring off the hook when you're not on air. You're usually kind of sitting there hoping someone calls. And then once people see you on air, they all call and the phones start ringing off the hook. So
well,
it's like
they don't. And that's that ringing, at least the telephones I've worked, that ringing. I've never done the Channel 11 one.
I've done the Channel 11 one. That's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. But I've done some really hokey ones over the years. And... after I got fired at Channel 2 for sticking my pencil in Bill Curtis's ear, I had to go do some other things. But there was every telethon I ever worked, when you were on, they would pipe in the sound of the phones ringing. They weren't actually ringing. You know, it would start like slow. They had like a tape. It would start a little slowly, like
that's
one or
right.
two. And then by the 30 seconds in, it was like they were all blaring,
then
but they weren't really. But you could tell because the phones were ringing and the people in the bank of phones in back of you aren't picking them up.
Right, right. And that's what you want. I mean, people want to see action and all that stuff. But a lot of times we have to do what we can.
You do. You got to bring in, you know, you got to bring in the dough. I've done the Channel 11 one, and I've done the on-air part where you pitch the different pledge levels, the mug and the dish towel and the book and the whatever, and you go all the way up to the top. And, you know, it works as, you know, you keep talking and you see what works and what doesn't based on those phones ringing. And then, you know, you help out the PBS, which is
all
a
right,
good thing.
Fred Rogers will come to your house.
I know, like,
he
really?
Will babysit for your children. You will get a tote bag and you will get a 5-CD set.
Yeah.
Of the best doo-wop groups in America.
That's
because
right.
the phones aren't ringing now.
They know. So you just keep promising things you hope you can deliver because you want people to call.
Yeah.
It's fun.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey,
all right.
Can we say where Tom is yet? Come on. I
no.
No, why not? Why not?
No, I don't think it's been announced yet. I'm looking at our producer.
Who's going to announce? Like, I work here, and I don't know who announces it.
Well, it's not announced. He's on assignment, and he's doing something really cool on assignment. And so he's got to get the story before we say what it is.
Oh, okay.
And when will that be? Tomorrow?
Issue. We think tomorrow. We're hoping. I'm hoping tomorrow.
Tom's got undercover.
The bosses are literally 10 feet away from me, and I'm getting it from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's it's. I know. I'm just gonna say.
Tom doesn't seem like he can go undercover.
No, I was gonna say. Don't I recognize you? Tom Skilling from WGN.
I'm not Tom.
Tom Skilling going undercover. He's gonna. Speaking of Channel 2, he's gonna do the whole homeless thing. He's gonna go. He's gonna do the Walter Jacobson homeless. You know, like Lower Wacker Drive. Hey, golly, can I get a quarter for a cup of coffee?
And he doesn't know that either. He always tells me, "Well, I went here and went there, and people were so nice." And I'm like,
"Yeah, you're Tom Skilling.
You're Tom. You walked out, and they're like, this guy doesn't know he's Tom Skilling."
And you know what's funny about him? It's not even only his looks that are so recognized. It's his voice, right? It's both. It's all of the above. It's hard to miss.
So, you know
the
what,
Tom.
Demetrius? I think the best move here is not to tell him that he is Tom Skilling and just let him still believe that he's, you know, Joe Blow.
And the world is just nice.
Yeah, right. Maybe he thinks he's Fred Rogers. Actually, maybe he's that. Maybe. He's going to be Mr. Rogers. I don't know. Whatever. It's working.
He'd look nice in a sweater vest.
Don't.
I think so.
Don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't get in his way. It's just whatever he's doing is the right thing.
Yeah.
Right.
It turns out.
Even this assignment is top level. Save the world.
Well, it is kind of. It's really cool. Well, we'll see. I
love his special reports in general. I still remember the ice hotel that he did. I've watched that so many times in Alaska. Or was it Alaska? I don't remember. But anyway, it was all his special reportings are it's just fabulous.
And the
so
eclipse.
Good.
I mean, he was He was better than the moon and the sun.
Moved us to tears.
Like, get off that. Get off that moon.
That's all anybody remembers from the eclipse is him crying. That's it.
Oh, he was so moved by it. It just pulled you in.
Eclipses, they come and they go. Tom Skilling crying on live television?
Only happened once. Right. Well, only priceless. Once during an eclipse. That's it.
All right, thank you, Demetrius.
Thanks, Demetrius.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to get in the weather center. This is way too much work back here.
Yeah, I think so. And also, it's making them work. What are you getting out of here? What's the camera going off? All right. Thank you, Demetrius.
Thanks, Demetrius.
All right. Don't forget, coming up after 4:30, your chance to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton. That's July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and your guest rooms. You can book them online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes.
They want us to choose 5,000 judges. How do you choose 5,000 judges? Can you imagine the corruption just from a normal standpoint? Just common sense. Can you imagine the corruption? Go to the barbershop, grab somebody, make them a judge. Everybody's being made a judge. They want 5,000 judges. More. It's crazy. Other countries, it's called, I'm sorry, you can't come in. You have to leave.
Turns out they don't really want 5,000. They want 375 more judges, but okay. Sue me over 4,625. Brett Baer is joining me right now. Joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. All right, we got a lot going on to discuss.
6'7", carry the knock. they told me there'd be no math.
Well, apparently, maybe he's not. Maybe that was not a strong suit. Maybe he's a good negotiator and he goes, I'll let my accountants handle the math. That's what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First of all, Supreme Court. Big day for Donald Trump, right? At the Supreme Court in terms of the travel ban, even though this is travel ban 3.0.
Yeah. Listen, no matter how you look at it, no matter whether you like Trump or don't like Trump or the administration, this is a big win for them. It is the third iteration of the travel ban. There are currently 7 countries in there, 5 of them majority Muslim countries. It was technically in the rewrite, not a Muslim ban. The opponents to all of this were making the case that because of the president's comments on the campaign trail and what he said initially, that's what it was. The justices in the majority ruled strictly on the words in the travel ban and dealt with security. And basically, it says that any of these countries who can't meet the stipulations of a certain level of security and vetting, they have to be banned from coming into the country. It's not that much different than in this iteration than what President Obama did, and the court found that.
I think that is true. However, and they did something else that's kind of important here before everybody, many of my friends and associates who want to jump off a bridge every time the president does something. And sometimes I want to jump off a bridge every time the president does something too. But in this particular case, there's a couple things that are important. The Supreme Court took a look at the Japanese internment decision that was made in the 1940s by an earlier court. And they basically deemed it to be unenforceable in the future. And because it's American citizens being interned. And that's important to like throw that out in the middle of all of this. There are some pieces of this, I think, that are probably, this is such a narrow decision. There are going to be some pieces of this that are probably not going to make their way through. The other interesting thing that the court did right before this was the decision about crisis pregnancy centers, often led by church groups or people who are anti-abortion groups, that they set up these centers, and in California specifically, the California legislature made it a requirement that these organizations be forced to hand out a pamphlet that says that abortions and contraception are both made available at low cost, depending on your financial needs, in the state of California. And they said, no, that's against our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion. And the court saw this with the side of these organizations.
Yeah, and listen, if anything, and we're still waiting on the ruling on the unions, which is a huge ruling.
We think we're getting that tomorrow, right?
Right. I think that, you know, if anything tells you that the importance of who sits on the U.S. Supreme Court, it is at the end of these terms when you get these big decisions that affect everyone in every level of life. And so being president enables you to nominate someone and get through the process, and the fact that Neil Gorsuch is on that court changed the court. If Justice Kennedy resigns, retires, as he may do in coming months, that is a huge political moment that could affect the trajectory of the country going forward, and it'll really inflame and fuel passion on at the ballot box.
Yeah,
there was a point being made. The administration with the so-called Muslim ban, or the third version of this policy that the Supreme Court ruled on today, they were making the argument all along that this is about the safety of our country, and we should hold standards from countries that don't vet to the same level of the standards that we'd like to uphold. And you saw major pushback from Democratic leadership today, not only on the issue of it being discrimination in their eyes because these were largely Muslim countries, but also saying that this somehow makes us less safe. It seems like a tough argument to make.
I think so. I mean, I listened to Cory Booker make a very passionate speech about that on the steps of the Supreme Court, and I just think it's a little bit tough to sell on a bumper sticker that you are telling these countries that they have to meet a stipulation of certain security requirements on the front end before they send somebody overseas, and if they don't have the setup, then we're not going to let them in. Chad was one of the countries that was on the list but was taken off the list because they did meet eventually the stipulations. And, you know, I think it's a tough sell to make that argument.
Yeah. And we should also mention the other big news of the day, obviously, is the Harley Davidson story.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see, and I think this is kind of a fascinating moment, that you do have like Harley Riders for Trump. They've got a guy out that is, and I don't know if there was a Harley Riders for Trump before there was a Trump or before there was a Harley. I don't know where where this group came from, but every once in a while, I think out of the lobbying firms in Washington, a new group can arise, surprisingly enough, and they have a guy who's been doing the media rounds today, who basically is saying, listen, you know, if Harley wants to go ahead and do this and go against the president, we'll start riding Indians. The other American competing brand here in that category. And it seems like the decision that was made by Harley Davidson is going to have a huge, like everything now has a political impact. You can't get over the politics of any given moment if the president comes down on you.
That's right. And, you know, he is not afraid to target businesses that make decisions. And they are making a business decision, and he is specifically calling them out on Twitter, a couple of statements today, and saying they shouldn't move, you know, plant operations from Kansas City to Thailand. He claims that that decision was made long before the tariffs were announced, so that they're just using the tariffs and the trade war as an excuse, and he's targeting them. Now, I don't know if that rubs off on Harley-Davidson riders and whether their allegiance to the brand is bigger than their allegiance to the Trump brand. I'm not sure. But I do know that this president is somebody who takes on companies that make decisions. You know, directly.
It's something. Hey, I do want to, I think we want to offer here from the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVellantis and the WGN family to the Special Report family and the Fox News family on the passing of Charles Krauthammer, who I know is a very dear friend of yours and an idol of yours. And I think for a lot of us, he was a personal hero, whether, you know, if you just want to read interesting prosaic philosophy, regardless of your thoughts on it, Charles Krauthammer was a brilliant writer and a brilliant thinker.
Yeah, he really was. And it was very emotional, obviously, over the last few weeks. But the funeral service this past weekend was really special. And in the tradition of the Jewish faith, sat Shiva with the family and told stories. And
laughed and had some great memories of Charles. And on Special Report, as I did last night, from time to time, we're just going to pull sound bites of Charles because he's commented on everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. And when it is relevant, you may see a Charles Krauthammer soundbite mixed in
That's
to
nice.
The conversation.
That. That's nice to keep his voice. And his, you know, he always had a one could argue, dispassionate but intellectual, always intellectual take on and everything. He made an argument for why something would work or why something would not work. And it wasn't just the politics of the moment. It wasn't just the flavor of the moment. It wasn't the emotions of the moment. And it certainly right. was based on fact, on provable fact.
Yeah, he could cut through the noise of the day-to-day in Washington and kind of hit the nail on the head. And whether you agreed with him or not on the ideology he was coming from,
yeah.
It was more practical. It was more real or realistic. Like, he had a problem with candidate Trump. By the time he won the presidency, Charles saw what happened and then said, you know, just like there was a Bush derangement syndrome, he feared and thought that there was a Trump derangement syndrome that was forming. And I think, you know, that also nailed it on the head.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the president does to certainly welcome the heat of it. You know, I mean, he stirs the pot.
Yeah.
I don't think George W. Bush did that, but
he didn't.
But I think it was a very different, you know, different temperature kind of time. And that's a voice that is sadly, and sorely going to be missed here. So appreciate it. Thank you very much, Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
All right. Have a good one.
We'll see you tonight. Special report coming your way at 5:30 or at 5 o'clock, I should say, in Chicago on the Fox News channel. Here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour on the WGN News.
Severe weather moving back into the Chicago area. That'll cost commuters on the roads and in the air.
All right, here is Violetta Pattermatic.
Guess what?
What, Dennis Rodman?
Guess what? Rokan joins the Steve Cochran show tomorrow at 9:40, so they can do a complete breakdown of the World Cup. You're going to do that tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know you're watching World Cup.
I'm all over Iceland right now.
Nil means zero.
Yeah.
And why is Iceland ISE?
And just an update, America still not in the World Cup.
They were beaten by, what, Trinidad and Tobago?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just want you to stop
and think about that. That's like being beaten by Mar-a-Lago in soccer.
It's
like
the same thing. This is the United States.
We've got
300 and some million people here.
I know. We suck. I mean, it's bad. It's bad, and it's got to get fixed because, you know, we're going to be hosting the World Cup in 2026, or at least between Canada, Mexico, and the United States going to be hosting it. And that just seems to me...
Doesn't the host country
gets a pass,
right?
Plus, they're expanding the pool of teams by a great margin, so that also helps America's chances.
So we can put our WGN team together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can we shout out Trinidad and Tobago for embarrassing us?
Sure.
Why not?
Well, God knows
we won't set your own rules.
We certainly won't score on them, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I'm sort of interested in that. I watch it when it's on. I love Premier League soccer, football, as it's known, on NBCSN on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's good in the morning when there's nothing else on.
Yeah, it's really good. It's live and it's kind of fun. And, you know, the games are nil-nil and you're like, hey!
And they move so quick. You'll watch a whole match in 2 hours.
All right, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you'd like to win a Chevy Silverado, for details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings on 720 on 720. Hey, there is also a smart speaker option. If you have one of those, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. Judy's News being brought to you by the hip and knee center.com. It's 4 o'clock. You know, when you have legal news, there's only one place you can turn, and that's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
And Mike Monaco is our legal analyst, who is one of the most famed trial attorneys in America. And he joins us at at great personal expense to himself.
I know, really. He doesn't make the same amount of money right with us.
And,
than
no,
he would.
And at no expense to you, I'm
right, at zero remuneration.
Yeah. We like that.
Right, because there's a media lawyer born every minute, as it turns out.
Yeah.
But I will say that this is a big, 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 no better analysis than you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Thank you, Anna.
For this, because there's a couple different things that happened today in the Supreme Court that need to be explained. Let's go to the travel ban. That's the one everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
There is some nuance to this. It's being, depending on kind of, you know, how you're looking at this and that hair on fire of the opinion people on cable news or in the newspapers, you're seeing this reaction to it as though, well, that's it. That's the, you know, the Supreme Court sides with racism, and that's not really what they did, is it?
No, but it's clearly a win for Trump, and it's clearly not a good sign.
Well, he gets to say it's a win, but remember this travel ban 3.0 a year ago, he said he's sorry that they ever did this. They shouldn't have done 3.0. He didn't like this because this is politically correct and watered down, and he didn't like it.
Well, there are seven countries, including 5 Muslim countries that they're, you know, that's invoked regarding.
Right.
And the Seventh Circuit is a strict 5-4 decision. And this is the reason that the Republicans did not want to have President Obama's selection for the Supreme Court go through the process. So they delayed until President Trump won the election, and he has the choice to pick his man Gorsuch, and Gorsuch is one of the five, and it was a 5-4 decision. There was a very, very severe dissent that Sotomayor read. From the bench.
Let's talk about that,
Mike, because what she is saying is, I think you're hearing a lot of Democratic leaders say today, is that repackaging this policy to its third reiteration doesn't cleanse it from the underlying intent, which she said was to ban Muslims from this country. And I think that's what people are saying on its face, that this seemed like a discriminatory process, but then you sort of add other countries and you change it, and now it passes muster.
It is interesting. The Chief Judge Roberts wrote the opinion. And he mentions in the opinion mentions the remarks that President Trump made about Muslims and about his desire to keep Muslims out of the country, and sort of says that it's not relevant, in effect, what the president said. It's only relevant as to what his rights are, what powers the president has, and the presidency is what it's important, not this particular president.
And then it's well within the scope of presidential authority.
And it's within the scope of presidential authority to make decisions based regarding immigration issues in a time of terrorism and a difficult time. And this is what they did. Now, the defense said they ignored what the president said. It was clear what the president said was what his intentions were. His intentions were to keep Muslims out of the country.
Right.
And that's what he said.
Yes, he did say that.
Couldn't have been clearer.
Clearly he said couldn't that.
Have been but he's clearer. Also saying it's about safety. Wasn't that? I mean, that wasn't the two tied together. He was saying that he believed that it was to keep the country safe, that these countries that are coming from don't have the vetting policies that meet the standards of the United States.
Well, by the third iteration, as Roe said, you're right. By that iteration, they did sort of water down the first two attempts at doing
this. The first attempt was basically other than the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, any predominantly
Muslim country
was taken off the list.
Yeah,
right. I mean, except for Turkey and the Kingdom, and I think Pakistan maybe.
So now the seven countries are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, which are the five Arab countries, and North Korea and Venezuela.
Chad, by the way, which was on the list, has been taken off the list because Chad, it turns out, is Donald Trump Jr.'s best friend from high school.
And I thought it was Biff.
Yeah, they got they had a mistake. It turned out it was Chad. And then they thought it was the country. It's a whole thing.
This is why I come here, Ro, to get this insight.
That's exactly what it was. Well, because they became compliant with this. It does seem to me that they sculpted it in such a way that I don't worry so much about the Trump era anymore. I worry about all eras thereafter, because he is going to set precedent for people who are, you know, going to be perhaps even malign in their intent. yeah. moving forward as president if they are unchecked in their power, whether they are left or right or you know, this kind of populist or fascist or whatever. You know, in the future, we don't know what could possibly get elected in America, especially if we get interfered with in our systems. So
by whom, Ro?
Yeah, but, so I don't know what, you know, I like the Supreme Court to err on the distribution of power side as opposed to the consolidation of power side, because that seems to me to be just a little scary, because maybe you love Donald Trump, but what if you got a guy that, what if Barack Obama decided that, and people made this argument in the Obama era that he was doing this. Look at all the executive orders he's doing. He's trying to do this by, you know, as trying to make himself a king. And you're seeing it here. What if you had a guy who was even more, you know, to the left that wanted to do it? Do people really want that? They're not thinking about the long term here.
But the Supreme Court today said that that the president has a lot of power when it comes to immigration issues.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to live with.
So it is interesting about the Muslim ban, though, the idea of from Muslim countries that people weren't allowed in. This is different than the border security issue.
Yes, it is.
Because this is about legal immigration.
It's about religion.
Yeah.
And a lot of all kinds of religious leaders today have stepped up saying this was a bad decision, saying that it is not good for America to keep people out just because of their religion.
Well, churches today are reeling from another thing, which is they've got tax bills for the first time.
That too.
Yikes.
And they're like, what? Apparently, religious institutions are now taxable in some ways. Not on, you know, if there are perks that are given to their executives, if you will, or to their leaders, or to their employees, that they can be taxed on those. Yeah. And they're like, wait, what? What? So that's that came as quite a shock to a number of religious institutions in America. I think, really, can I make a prediction?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's hear it.
I'm about 50% on predictions, which is
you're pretty good. I'd say.
About as, you know, that's what, you know,
maybe
what you
better
get,
than that.
Like a chimpanzee could do about the same thing. but here is the, here's my prediction that a year from now, or a little less than about 10 months from now, when it hits April 15th of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that the form they fill out is not on a postcard, which there's a story about that today, and that they're not going to get the kind of money back that they thought they were going to get back. And then when they do the math, depending on the state that you live in, obviously, if you're in Florida or Texas, like a 0% income tax state, you're going to do better, or low property tax states, you're going to do better than the high property tax states. That we already kind of knew was baked into the cake. But I think there are going to be some people in places like Wisconsin and Indiana that are going to be so shocked by what they actually ended up paying versus what they paid a year ago.
It'll be interesting to compare year to year, because that's really easy to do in this age of TurboTax and what have you, right? You just can see exactly what you did last year.
But the rules are now coming out. The rules had never... We all thought we knew what the rules were, and then all of a sudden the churches go, oh, wait, what?
Is that a rule?
That's a rule? They just found out now that they can be taxed. And they're like, well, that's in here? I mean, there's a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, my own accountant is like, I call him like every day, and I go,
of course,
what can sure we? What, are we writing off these things? Can we write these? And he goes, I have no idea.
I believe you do call him every day.
I do. How can you call your lawyer, your accountant, and your doctor every day?
My lawyer's here half the day. He's sitting right in front of you.
It's convenient that you're here, yeah. Mike. We should also ask you about the decision that the Supreme Court is likely to hand down tomorrow on the case that started in Illinois here about the union dues.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Governor Rauner pretty much triggered or launched the. You know,
yeah,
it was.
Apparently he's in Washington, awaiting the decision.
In our nation's capital. And it was about an Illinois man who didn't want to pay union dues. He wasn't in the union, but he was supposed to pay his fair share because that was allowed in order to be part of the collective bargaining agreement. And any idea what's going to happen here?
It sounds like it'll be 5-4 against the union.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what we should expect.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's political as opposed to... I mean, I have no idea what the specifics of the law were, and even if I did, I wouldn't understand them. But I do think that we're seeing clearly a shift here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the next interesting thing.
Oh, good. What's this, Ro?
Well, when Justice Kennedy, who was the swinger.
When he retires, which is soon.
Yeah. He's the swing vote. He's the guy who, from time to time, he puts his keys in a big bowl
and he moves to Naperville.
Right, exactly.
Hey, wait a minute! What's wrong with Naperville?
The point is, he moves back and forth between the two
constituencies
here.
He's with the majority today.
Yeah, So when he goes away.
And he wrote his own opinion, by the way, talking about the importance of religion and to be tolerant towards religion, which is ironic, given the decision.
Yeah, okay. So when he leaves, and assuming he'll leave in November after the election, kind of the guess here.
Yeah.
That, assuming that it is not a Democrat-controlled Senate or House, Senate specifically, would be the one that would make a difference here. Then President Trump will be able to, if it's a Republican-controlled Senate, which it's expected to be, then Donald Trump gets another full clear shot at this.
Yeah. Do you think if it's a Democratic Senate that they'll hold off?
They'll do what they did two
more years.
Yeah, they'll do what they did with Obama.
You think they will?
Yeah. Although Obama was different because it was the last 2 years of his term.
Right.
You know, right. Trump still has an opportunity to have four more years in his term. So that the argument is
allegedly
the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see what Robert Mueller has to say about that. Hey, I want to ask you about that. You know, it's been so quiet on the Mueller side here of late.
There's some rumblings of people are claiming that something's going to happen before Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's not just rumblings of that. There's rumblings that it might even be sooner than it might be, you know, in the month of July, because other pieces are starting to fall into place here. And Paul Manafort today, I don't know if you saw this just broke about an hour ago,
right,
that the those charges that Manafort was counting on being dropped in Virginia were not. The trial can go forward.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen. We talked about that.
Yeah.
When the judge made those comments, this and that, how tough he was, and then, of course, he backed off.
Right. I don't know if we believe what Giuliani said, but remember, he said he had a meeting with Mueller, and he received some sort of assurance that they would try to come about with some sort of finality to this investigation, and within enough time so that there's a buffer between now then and the election.
Right.
Well, that's probably not a bad idea if that were to happen. I do have trouble believing anything Mr. Giuliani says at this point, given what he said about the case so far. But who knows? I don't know. It'll be interesting. I do think that, well, what did we see yesterday? That the fellow who was in charge of Blackwater, Eric Prince said
he had to hand over his phones to
that his phones, his computer were seized by the
I kind of got a sense that the guy who runs Blackwater, when he hands over the phones and the computers, they're going to be spending a lot of time trying to figure out, well, there doesn't appear to be anything on here.
Yeah.
It's got like the EPA guy who only sent out one email in a year anybody outside the staff
he was a very quiet fellow.
From his government email?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, I don't know.
Well, Prince is a fellow who said first he did not go to Yemen. Excuse me, not to Yemen, to the Seychelles.
Mm-hmm. For a meeting. Yeah,
and then said he was there, but then he accidentally ran into the Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems hard to believe.
Yeah.
That you just happen to be in the Seychelles and happen to run into the fellow who's the Putin guy.
Yeah. It happens all the time.
And the Trump guy.
These guys are running into him all the time. Well, they got Putin guys are everywhere.
Well, I mean, it's like they're for the president to say there's no collusion, it's getting almost ridiculous because so many people in his administration who were in the campaign, literally in the campaign.
Yeah.
Not just friends of his, but in the campaign paid for had contacts with Russians. Not to mention his son.
It happens. Stuff happens. Mike, what are you causing trouble for?
I'm just saying.
You want to end up in one of those work camps? I get it, because that's what we're getting. That's one of our trade deals with North Korea. We get work camps.
Oh, really?
We get their designs for work camps, and they're going to get Harley Davidson.
They get Harley Davidson and maybe some movies.
Yeah.
get them a few movies.
Keep listening in just a few minutes. I've got your chance to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton, Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Ruth. Thanks,
Mike.
Really excellent. Whatever just happened right there.
Yes, mm-hmm.
All right. Let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up?
A transgender lawsuit continues in a Palatine school district, even though the student has graduated.
What is the point, then? I don't know.
It'll come up again. So
I know. Is it the bathrooms again?
Yes. Oh, the locker rooms.
All right. The locker rooms. Okay. All right, eventually, everybody's going to have their own locker room. That's what's going to happen here.
No, that's what she doesn't want. She wants to use the regular one.
Separate is not equal.
The president just said separate is equal just a couple days ago.
Don't worry.
He misused the whole separate but equal thing the wrong way, but that's all right. We have one of the funniest drunk Trumps you are ever going to hear coming up, by the way, from his South Carolina speech last week.
We covered a lot of topics.
Last night, I should say.
Last night.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's beyond great. It's coming up, but first, Violetta.
Chicago is hosting the ultimate month-long food festival, and it's this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com and get your seat at the table.
Okay. Coming up in just a few minutes, your chance to rip us off for the Blackhawks convention passes. Coming up at the end of July, we'll be there.
We will.
We kick this thing off every
Love it.
Year. And it is a ton of fun.
It is. It is so much fun. I look forward to it. And there's great energy in the room.
Rooms. Right? It's like, goes on forever down there.
Oh, yeah. It's interactive stuff that kids can do. And I just, you know, meet the players, the Q&A sessions. I love it. My nephew got his sweater signed by none other than Jonathan Taves last year.
No big deal.
Passed out.
He showed all his friends and said,
no big deal. Oh, my gosh, he did.
Big deal.
You should have seen his face. Oh, gosh.
Captain Sirius was on the show with us.
And he came on the show with us, so he thought I was cool for the first time in his life.
Yep.
So I get to talk to him.
That's an excellent point. I know. The kids, they're so funny. Now, you know, one day, I believe that Kevin and Violetta will think we're cool. I just don't know when that day is going to be.
One day they'll grow up and realize that we are the coolest people they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
We've missed it this whole time.
Yeah.
They have.
Yeah, right. Okay, we have got the news coming up here with Judy, and it's only 2 minutes away. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Why are you talking like that?
This sounds serious.
Because I'm going to give something away!
Oh.
Hey!
Thanks, Boris.
Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19.
Get to meet Boris later this weekend at Calgary Cowboy.
I don't think we can promise that.
They get passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com.
Yay!
Should be a good time.
I want to meet Boris.
We should invite Boris.
I don't think I want to meet Boris.
Actually,
you guys can handle him.
No, because I like the idea. I have Boris in my mind, and I don't want
to. He's not going to live up to it? You're afraid of that?
He's going to probably be more than you thought.
I'll bet you that's true.
He seems like a tough guy to contain. You know, like if he sort of hits a stride at that time, even if it's 6 o'clock in the evening, he might sort of...
Hits a stride.
You
know,
what makes you think that?
Yeah, just the few data points I have on Boris, I would just come
but
to that
conclusion. But then if you do need to, like, you know, really get his attention, he's just gone.
Right. Well, if you need something from him that he's not willing to part with at the right price, then it's all over, right?
He just disappears,
yeah. I don't need to talk to you about this right now. Hey, did you see this nightclub? Do we have this story?
This
nightclub that is banning, it's like the... Everything is just upside down now. There's a nightclub in Chicago that is banning the Make America Great hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
just
concrete,
that hat?
It's like Bottle Blonde was, you know, any kind of hat. Couldn't wear any kind of hat, even a construction hat, whatever.
Couldn't wear stonewashed jeans. Remember that double jean look? Mm-hmm. It was a very extensive list that they had.
Now, there is this club here that has decided that it's across the board. They don't want anything that's going to tick somebody off when they see it. So whether it's a Make America Great Again hat or it's a like a FUBU jacket. I mean, they just want everybody to... I think everybody's going to have to wear the...
Yeezys?
The Kanye West stuff.
Just
everybody looks like an
monotone.
Inmate. Like an inmate in an insane asylum.
All gray.
Is what they all look like. It's like everybody just... It's everything, you know, it's a neutral, either beige or gray, and it's just a big baggy sweatpants. It's like the day room at the people who have to... They take their shoelaces away. That is what it looks like when Kanye West is putting on his stuff, and that's what they want the nightclubs now.
It at least looks comfortable.
It does.
I think it's meant to be comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. Because...
you don't want to upset anyone.
Yes, he wants to be a bit too leisurely as Prince once wrote. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get anything that goes on anymore.
They have, so, I mean, you would think that the, what was it, the Bottled Blonde was the one with the other dress yeah. code that got beaten up pretty badly because it seemed as if, you know.
And they actually do allow the Trump hat.
they do? I didn't know that. No, there was such know. A Just lengthy list. You probably
no, I
do.
I don't know.
But he's this Replay is the name of the bar. And they said that the dress code is going to be strictly enforced. The post only refers to specific hats and uses a picture to illustrate exactly the ones they're talking about.
Where's this Replay? I haven't heard of it.
Lincoln Park.
Here is a, this is not the kind of place you would end up going.
They want to maintain a classy environment is the reasoning for the new dress code.
Let me read the statement from the management about this. Because mm-hmm. this is written as only a nightclub manager could write it.
Right.
After much consternation and consideration and to maintain a classy environment, Replay Lincoln Park has implemented a new strictly enforced dress code. No face tattoos, no specific hats. Please see
face
below.
Tattoos.
Let's keep it classy, Chicago. Sincerely, the management.
You know, I've been to this bar.
You have?
It's a vintage video game entertains
yes,
patrons.
Yes, I've been here, and I'm surprised.
Funky arcade bar with beer, bourbon, and cocktails.
Yeah, it seems to be more of like a hipster forward-thinking type bar, so this is kind of surprising. But maybe they're afraid they don't want to upset that clientele with a MAGA hat. I could see that crowd not being down with it.
It's an arcade bar. It's nothing classy about it.
Right.
Excuse me. It says they're classy, and they want it to stay classy.
It, a classy environment.
Let's keep it classy, Chicago. That's what we're going to do. Keep it classy.
You can't be classy if you have face tattoos?
That is correct.
I think that's true.
Actually is true.
Girl in the short skirt, though, you can come to the front of the line.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Super short skirt.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Where the point is, if you move just slightly, there could be something happening there. It could break a law of some sort. But it is, it's, you know, they don't want any kind of trouble. That's what they want. Where is this on the DePaul campus? Is this near DePaul?
Yeah, it's right around there.
Yeah. That's interesting. Oh, man. You know there are going to be some kids who are going to go in there with the MAGA hats now just to make a point.
Yeah.
Then they're going to get kicked out. They're going to call Sarah Sanders. There's going to be all kinds of trouble.
They were totally
This place looks kind of crazy. They're playing like soccer inside with some strings or something.
Yeah, when I was there, you could. They had some sort of fundraiser situation going. Like, that's what I'm surprised. Like, if you guys went to this, you would not think this is the type of bar that would ban
anything. It's not a classy
anything.
Joint?
No, it is a classy joint, but it's a young, hipper crowd. It's not like, it's like a lot of hipsters in there.
It's not like some of the other bars where you got guys who were just, they're squeezing out their testosterone literally out
right.
of their eyeballs.
Right, they just walked over from the bar
from the gym
and right. crank some protein mix.
Right, and they've got a V-neck that goes all the way down to their mid-sternum. And right. real tight around their pecs.
And like and fresh Jordans on. Yeah.
And a hat on backwards and maybe a gold chain mm-hmm. and the whole thing, yeah.
Where they look like they just walked from their fraternity.
How you doing? Well, I'm going to talk like this because I got so much of the Mega Mix Pro triple testosterone protein mix.
Girls for the girls.
Yep, I got it.
Push-up contest.
I got a real problem, though. Because even though I look really great up here, my testicles are the size of peas.
I think the more disturbing news out of Lincoln Park today was that the Wiener Circle might be sold. That property is for lease, apparently. Cranes, I think, might have been the one to break it today. That the, you know, over on North Clark Street, not really Lincoln Park, but, you know, in that
area.
Yeah,
it's Lincoln Park.
Is it Lincoln Park?
Yeah. Okay. That's the original Lincoln Park. Everything west of there that calls itself Lincoln Park.
It's not really.
It's not
real
Lincoln
estate
Park.
Lincoln Park, like the realtor will tell you.
Yeah.
But this is a Wiener Circle. They're saying the future depends on whether the new property owner chooses to demolish the stand or just, you know, if they're going to do something new with it.
Well, so, why are they selling it?
They didn't own the property?
No, they didn't. Their plans to sell the property. It's, you know, it's 700 square feet. That's even bigger than I thought because that place is tiny. And they're saying the landlord wants to bundle the hot dog stand with a neighboring apartment building. And then that could make it a combined 13,000 square foot property attractive to a developer, which would mean bye-bye Wiener Circle. And it would go away.
Wiener Circle.
Bye-bye Wiener Circle. That's what I always say.
Well, I mean, I would miss it, I think. Isn't it like an institution in Chicago?
It'll come back. They're opening up another Wiener Circle, I think.
I don't know. They're kind of mean in there.
That's the whole point of it.
Like at the Bevix, right?
It's like, why? I just want a hot dog.
Well, just go in and don't make eye contact and order a hot dog. They won't be mean to you. It's all right.
No, it's like when a dog knows that you don't like dogs.
Then go to one of the other 5,000 hot dog stands in Chicago.
Yeah, they don't like it. You know what? The winner circle, the best thing is the burger, actually.
Some would say the chocolate shake.
Yeah, it's really good. And yeah, you do get it. And it's gotten very political, though, too. Like on the sign on Wiener Circle, there's always some sort of...
They had the tiny hands up there. Yeah.
Well, they had the 2-inch hot dogs and called it...
The Trump footlong.
The Trump footlong, yeah.
And it was actually 2 inches.
The mini hot dogs.
They were mini sausages, but they called it the Trump footlong.
So they got a sense of humor up there.
They put a hand in
it. They do. They have a lot of fun.
Godspeed, Wiener Circle.
Yeah.
That'll be okay. I think they'll be open somewhere else.
You do?
Those are a couple
of
the guys.
Yes, they will be. Their move's just moving.
That's part of the story? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because there's a couple of guys who bought that institution, that venerable institution, fairly recently, and they want to expand it.
Oh, so they're going to like more locations.
Yeah, I don't think that the Wiener Circle is going away. The Wiener Circle is going to be, they're going to be having Wiener Circles in places where they're going to think Wiener Circle is something that is illegal, right, to say or to post. So it's going to be all over the country, I think, is their plan.
Oh, well, that could probably work.
Yeah.
Attitude doesn't sell everywhere, though, but still.
It'll sell. I mean, that Ed DeBevick's concept sold in a lot of places.
It did.
I never could stand
really
it.
Really mean things on my hat.
Let me tell you something about, oh, my God. God, what are you, 5?
Mom!
And, I mean, I'm not saying they were wrong, but just, why do you got to put it on my hat?
The thing about the Ed DeBevick's concept that I never got, it's like a sit-down dinner, and you're going to be treated like that for an hour and a half.
No.
That I didn't want. Like, walk in and out of Wiener Circle, and, like, somebody says something snotty to you at the front, you go, oh, that's part of the deal, here's what I get, and you get the food, and you're gone, right? You don't have to worry about it. But to have the waitress coming back over and over and over again with the same shtick that, you know, all right, jerks, what do you want? All right, fat boy.
Right. And at some point, you just want to enjoy your meal and be like, okay, I got it.
We already got enough of the
shtick.
And about,
we've sort of set the tone.
And I like when they bring the meat tray out or they grab a lobster out of a tank at some restaurant and it waves at you before you eat it. I don't like any of that. I just want to everybody just behave and do your right thing. Now, Wiener Circle is different because you're walking up to a counter, and I think you just charm them. I just charm them.
And it's normally like at midnight after a round of a few drinks.
My good lady. If you are a lady, you have a mustache. I'm not quite 100% sure if you are.
I think she served me too. I must have been staring.
My good sir, ma'am, I would like to ask you, may I have a double cheeseburger?
They like that.
And that works there, huh?
No, but you might as well be giving it back to him. All right. Anyway, we wish everybody the best of luck. We have a drunk Trump for you.
All right.
Ooh, those are the best.
Oh, it's really good. Stay tuned right here. But first, we check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
A Brazilian woman files suit to get her 9-year-old son, who's being detained in Chicago, back.
All right. Here is Violetta.
Attorney Karen Conti joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 6:40. To discuss, among other things, that bar in Chicago that banned the Make America Great hats. Is it legal? And other legal issues, because there are a ton of them.
Yeah, I'd say so.
She'll cover it all tomorrow, 6:40 a.m.
Do you like a little drunk Trump here?
Sure.
This is from his speech last night in South Carolina. He was a bit of a non sequitur. He's kind of, you know, he's enjoying himself, I think, right now.
Uh-huh.
Things are going his way. His approval ratings are up. He's getting things done. Supreme Court today. Didn't know this was going to happen yesterday, but, you know, it was a happy day for him. So he's, you know, he's just kind of musing with his people that love when he muses. But a lot of it didn't make a ton of sense. So we thought we would give the drunk Trump application to it.
Everybody used to say my hair's phony. It's not my hair. But the one thing, they never say that anymore. Canada. You know, Canada... Nice guy. Nice guy. Prime Minister. Justin. I say, Justin, what's your problem, Justin?
Canada.
Oh, gosh.
What's your problem?
She blamed everybody for losing the election except for one person, herself. Jimmy Fallon calls me up. And he's like a nice guy. He's lost. He looks like a lost soul. The guy on CBS is What a low life. What a low life. I mean, honestly, are these people funny? Jimmy Kimmel. No talent.
He's funny.
Right, that's Stephen Colbert he's talking about. He took credit for Olympic ticket sales. You know,
yeah, like, hold on, there's more.
My wife. She had an operation a few weeks ago. They said she got a facelift. No, I would let you know. Mosquitoes lost many, many lives.
Mosquitoes. He covered mosquitoes, too. How did he get there?
How?
How? It doesn't matter. I mean, it's the most amazing thing because he really, I've been drunk. I've been around a lot of drunks over the years. I know how the drunk sounds, and when he's sober, I mean, we slow that down for effect, but when he's sober, it's the same thing. It's like a guy at a bar. You just got to have the sound, and you're like, well, he's going the same way. What's going on there?
That was the actual sentence?
Those were the real sentences.
By the way, Henry, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force, right? Air Force, and what are we going to do? Space Force. People love that.
He said Air Force three times. It gets.
You think right?
Yeah. That's the fourth one. Army?
They're looking for the Air Force.
All right.
He said at one point, I'm not reading off the teleprompter. And I think it was kind of fairly obvious at that point that yes. He was not.
It's 5 o'clock. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado for details. Listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio and tune in. Judy's News brought to you by Arkadeck. It's 5 o'clock.
No big deal.
Not a big deal. That's a big deal. All right. We got a top 5 at 5 coming your way. Mm-hmm. A.B. Stoddard is going to join us coming up in a few minutes here after 5:40. We've got more fun and hilarity coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour.
More mm-hmm. drunk Trump.
We can play a little bit. We can re-rack some of the drunk Trump in the 6 o'clock hour for the people who are joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
That is, oh my gosh. It just doesn't get any better than that. I hope he enjoys it, because if he doesn't enjoy it, I'm going to a work camp. You know, I used to joke about that, but now I think it's really going to happen. It's going to be me and a potato. You know, I get one potato a month, and I'm just be standing there. It's going to be very slimming, which I think is good.
Yeah.
But you can cook, so you can do a lot. But potatoes are a versatile,
very
vegetable,
versatile.
So you can do a lot of things. Yes, there.
Tuber. It's a nice tuber.
But one a month, that doesn't go too far.
Well, you have to get creative.
Yeah, exactly right. This is the one thing he took out of the North Korea summit was how to deal with dissidents.
He's learning a lot.
Kim Jong Un, like, yeah, let me tell you something. You really want to get their attention? Use an anti-aircraft gun. They rob it. Oh, man.
Chemical weapons also.
Yeah. Oh, maybe a chemical weapon. Maybe you kill your brother-in-law with the rag, with the hooker. Give a rag with the hooker and not only poison at it. Oh, it's so much fun to watch the news.
Very effective also.
Yeah. And then you're like, weren't there moments in that summit? I know it's a couple of weeks ago now, but mm-hmm. there were moments where even Kim Jong-un looked at him a little funny. Like Kim Jong-un's looking at him like going, did he just, wait, he would look at his own guys, and he goes, did he just say what I think he just said?
This guy's crazy.
Because why is he touching me like that?
You have to think that a guy who is partially educated in Switzerland would understand enough English, even though he's going through the translator, that he'll pick up on a few things. So when it was coming out of the president's mouth, yeah. He was like,
I think there are a few moments where he's like, I don't know if I get this. I don't know. I know I'm a crazy, but with this guy. All right. Are you ready?
I think we're ready.
This is the moment right here where it all mm-hmm. it all counts.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Alright, checking in, eh?
Number five.
Legendary astronaut Buzz Aldrin is suing his kids.
Yeah.
He's accusing them of trying to become co-guardians of his foundation and his private company. He says the kids are out to get him, but the kids say that he's 88 and he has diminished cognitive abilities. He just says they want his dough.
I got people around me who marvel at the agility of my mind, the creativity. Dementia, no way. I don't need to be told what my life, the direction of it, what it should be doing. I'd like to rectify what has erroneously been done. Undo what has been done and have some degree of recovery of losses that I have suffered.
Okay.
Well, if you listen to that, I think he sounds remarkably capable, right?
Well, remember when he got stuck at the gate at the airport, and they weren't letting him on the airplane a couple months ago?
Operating an airline here or not?
You want to go see it?
No!
What'd you say?
I want to go to TSA and get on this airplane.
Okay, no problem. We're going to do all of that. Darling,
why not? Her fault.
Yeah, but we've seen that from people who are not being accused of being, you know, not right. in control of their head. He apparently in April he went through his evaluation, a psychiatric evaluation, and he was scored superior to normal. So now they're doing another test today and tomorrow.
All right, I'm with him. The kids are trying to steal his money. I'm going to go with that.
No.
He's
him on the plane.
Listen. Can we just be honest about this? The man has been on the moon!
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's not exactly, you know,
he's looking respect. At the rest of us like,
yeah.
You guys don't
what
know.
What have you done? Right?
Right.
All of us.
Right. So he's, and if you're going to have like, you know, yeah, angry old men, certain of them can get away with it. You know, guys who, you know, landed on Normandy and D-Day, they can get away with
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. It's okay.
True.
Guys who, you know, suffered at Guadalcanal, yes, they get to be cranky old men. Guy lands on the moon, yes. Guy who sat around and did nothing?
No.
Guy who was a radio talk show host?
No.
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 All right. Checking in at
number four.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is shooting back at his critics and the critics of the Trump administration's immigration policy. Now, 2,000 kids still remain separated from their parents as a result of the zero tolerance policy, right, that became news last week. It's been going on for a couple of months. He was at a law enforcement conference in L.A. today, and he accused the president's opponents of wanting open borders.
In the United States, we have the most generous immigration laws in the world. We make 1.1 million people each year. We put them on a path to citizenship. They get a green card, permanent legal residence in the United States.
Right, because they fill jobs. Right. I mean, isn't that? I mean, it's not. It's not like a one way street. It's not like we're just, you know, Santa Claus.
Right.
It's politically the argument is often made that they're just coming here for the welfare. Well, they're not.
No.
You don't have a green card. You know, that's not how that works.
Well, the president said it himself, I believe, for the first time today, that he says we have so many jobs to fill in this country. We'd like more immigration.
Legal immigration.
Legal immigration, but we want it to be merit-based.
Right. We want them from Iceland and Norway and beautiful.
Slovenia.
Slovenia is good.
Is that on the list?
That's what I want. I want them from there. I do not want them from the other places where the people are ugly. The Attorney General praised today's Supreme Court decision.
We are very pleased with the outcome today and hope that this goes some way toward ending the practice of these broad nationwide injunctions, which in my view gravely threaten the rule of law.
Okay. Well, it took them three times to write a rule that could actually get through the Supreme Court. So why don't you start with that, Attorney General, since it's your lawyers who are that have to sign off on these things, because you are the chief lawyer of the United States of America. Maybe you could have gotten to the president and said, you know, tell them all the Muslims to get out of the country, and then writing a thing just banning people from Muslim countries. Maybe, you know what? The Supreme Court might not okay that.
They may not love it. And then you're giving interviews saying that that's what you want to do.
Yeah. You know what? Throw in North Korea. Maybe that'll help. Ah, don't throw us in! Mayor Emanuel, it's an election year, you know. So mm-hmm. Mayor Emanuel had to weigh in on this. A year ago, you would have not heard from him on this.
Had we had a different election, we'd have a different Supreme Court. That was a decision that was 5-4. And I can tell you a different president would have nominated a different Supreme Court justice. A former president had an opening and made a nomination that I think also that decision would have been different.
That's true. It shows you how important our Supreme Court is in terms of issues that affect all of us in our everyday lives. And this 5-4 split is evidence of that. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but you do see the meaningful impact of those nominations.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
A lottery ticket was very unlucky for an armed robber.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's too bad.
Just go for the cash. Don't grab the tickets.
Violetta.
It's a rematch time in L.A. as the Cubs look to take it to the house against the Dodgers. Tuesday night baseball. It's tonight at 9 on WGN-TV.
Could use a win on the north side.
Sure could.
Wins are in short order here. Chicago baseball right about now.
Definitely.
All right. Are we still in the top five? I think we are checking in at
number three.
Protections for victims of sex assault, called the Survivor's Bill of Rights, got a hearing on Capitol Hill today. Now, this is interesting. Former NFL player and now actor Terry Crews told the Senate Judiciary Committee about his own experience at the hands of a high-powered talent agency at an industry party in 2016.
While we can call attention to a culture of toxic masculinity and the need to disrupt power dynamics, this bill creates long-term change and gives power and control back to survivors.
How about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because the Me Too movement extends to men as well, as he's reminding us here.
Did he? What was the?
He's kind of a. He says he's talking about how an agent once grabbed him there and treated him in that way, and that there were jobs and other things taken away from him because of his speaking out, and the same kinds of things you've heard from the women who are part of this movement.
Oh my God, a former NFL player.
I know.
You know, I mean, you would think that it's the power dynamic of I've got a job and you need the job and you want these jobs is the only way you're going to be able to make
right.
a living.
And then he says he won't be in a certain movie because a producer told him to drop his sexual assault lawsuit or else, you're out of the picture.
See what goes on here?
See?
See? See?
See? See what happens?
All right. Checking in at
number two.
Last night, Jimmy Fallon responded to President Trump's attack for expressing remorse over the 2016 interview that Jimmy Fallon did with Trump, where he tousled his hair.
Oh, right.
And so Jimmy Fallon, the issue here is Jimmy Fallon did a print interview in which he discussed all of this. And he said that, there was an impact on his ratings and that he was criticized for humanizing Donald Trump in 2016 by being playful with him as opposed to being critical of him. And by saying that, now Trump has gone back after him, saying that he's a nice guy, but he's got no talent. He's got, Trump just went after him personally.
Jimmy Fallon calls me up. And he's like a nice guy. He's lost. He looks like a lost soul. Right? He gets out there. Hey, hi. Oh. But you know what? He's a nice guy. I agreed to do a show. And because I guess I was running at that time, I think I was he got tremendous ratings on that show. Killed everybody, right? He should be thankful. He shouldn't be upset and angry.
He's taking aim at Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And Stephen Colbert. And Arnold.
Yes.
Hillary.
Everybody he doesn't like. Now, here is Jimmy Fallon's response.
And he said he called and said, monster ratings? First of all, I've never called this human in my life. I don't have his number. I don't want his number. And Monster ratings. I mean, what that. If I ever said, did I ever say?
I don't think you said monster cables and monster.
If I meant monster ratings,
ratings. Right.
I've never said monster ratings. I don't know what he's talking about. By the way, Donald, if you, I don't know if you've seen my ratings the past 2 years. You didn't help my ratings.
That's true.
Really. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
What's interesting is Fallon was the least against the president, I feel like. He attacked him the least in his jokes.
But I think that that's what they're saying. His show suffered because he didn't take that political turn that the others did. He stayed that variety, fun, loving show, and the others became very politically pointed.
Right, so it's interesting that he'd attack Fallon now.
Right. Well, everybody's day is coming if you turn on him. If you disagree with the president in any way, in a public way, and you're a big enough target, he's going to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that's part of his coda, which is that you do not allow people to take shots at you. And if you do, you hit back twice as hard. That's his coda. That goes back to his earliest training as a young real estate guy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy Cohen was his lawyer, and that was the Roy Cohen rules. And that was how he did it. And even though it seems irrelevant and it seems not kind of what you want, the leader of the free world, a guy who has the largest arsenal of nuclear weaponry in the world, a guy who can have you killed if he wants to have you killed, in a country that prides itself on humility of power and of being a country that supports you if you are rich or you are poor, if you are the underdog or you are the New England Patriots, whatever you happen to be. That's part of the thing about the American, the energy of the American culture.
Right.
And he's kind of taking this to that place of, you know, I'm a winner, you're all losers, and it's a win. And it's zero sum gain. If I don't win unless you lose. And in America, you know, everybody can, there, you know, we don't really look at it like that. They looked at it like that in other places throughout history, and it always ended up with a mass slaughter of some sort. Yeah. And even though I think he's just being playful and he thinks it's just being playful, he's mindless. He's not mindful of history and the lessons of history in this. And that's what I think alarms a lot of people, especially me. That's why I can't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. That's the reason.
That's one of the reasons. That is the chief among them reason.
Number one.
Barry Gibb is not dead. You know, when it's number one, you never know where I'm going with this. Barry Gibb was knighted at Buckingham Palace today by the Queen.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
How about that? Now, his late brothers, Robin and Maurice, you know, the Bee Gees. It's interesting that they both passed on now. There's only, you know,
is he the only survivor?
Barry's the only survivor.
Oh,
he's 71. I mean, they died young. Oh. And they were one of the, you know, I mean, it was one of those acts that you either loved them or you hated them, but mm-hmm. more people loved them than hated them. And the Saturday Night Fever mm-hmm. soundtrack was, you talk to record people and music people, they will say it's one of the most perfectly produced records of all times.
Yeah.
And albums of all times. So Barry Gibb talked to reporters about the experience of being knighted.
We have played for Prince Charles a number of times, and he's very, very affable, very kind, and very sweet to us, and has been to me on various occasions. So it's not like we really know each other, but he sort of has a little bit of a look like, I know you, you know, and mainly about knees. Because when I bent down, he said, you can stand up now. And I said, I don't think I can. He said, no, it doesn't get any easier, does it?
Sir Barry Gibb. How about
that?
It's
pretty great.
It is.
So the Queen didn't do it. Charles did it?
I guess. Yeah, Charles did it. Yeah.
I couldn't make it.
sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain.
This is a beautiful song.
Yeah, love this one. That you wander far from me. He still has great hair, too.
I'm not sure it's his. Hold on, here comes a good part.
You come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? Is your love?
All right, right there.
Call it Night Fever with
jam.
A K.
Yeah. That's a jam. It's a jam.
It is.
But
survives the test of time, doesn't
where's
it?
Where's the queen? Why can't she make it down for a BG?
Well, maybe she wasn't there for the BG. You know, she only does the more important people. I don't know. I don't want to speak for her or anything. But I think she just doesn't really like him. What I heard.
Charles, you do something, would you?
Charles needs to do a little more.
I don't know
that
Charles
needs to
do anything. Everybody's waiting for Charles not to be the king. They want Prince William to be the king. They just want to move on. We're going to skip a generation here. And Charles is like, oh, I've been sitting around just waiting. I married a woman who looks like a horse just so I can wait here for this to happen.
Is that Johnny Depp?
And nobody seems to care that I'm sitting here waiting to be king. The kids just want it. What is the Prince William's daughter?
Yeah.
Well, they have a son first, right?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
So that's the next heir. And Harry
unfairly goes to the boys.
Well, no, not anymore.
They stopped it.
They stopped that. It's the firstborn now. But in this case,
the firstborn is a boy.
Right, the firstborn is a boy. But now they just changed that law in mm-hmm. England. So now
just in the last couple of years. So if there was a firstborn was a female, it would go to the female, the crown.
Right. Won't happen in this century now. It doesn't appear because these people hold on, man.
They do.
I mean, they're waiting on this queen. Like, when is she gonna drop?
Well, the queen mom was like, what, 102 or something? Oh, my God.
She's trying not to because she knows Charles is next.
Yeah, true.
I've always Everyone wanted knows. To keep this from you. Just really hoping that you abdicate.
He should have, right? Would have been the manly thing to do when he married Camilla.
Exactly. She looks just like an equine.
There is a story today about how the queen confronted Prince Charles about Camilla Parker Bowles after a few martinis, and what she said was not pretty.
Oh, it's
not a fan.
She's not pretty. I didn't like the first one either, but I really don't like this one, and I'd really prefer if the cute grandson of yours are mine. Whose is it? Who'd be the next king?
Kate and William's child.
Yes.
Which is
no, what William? King William, not Charles.
And so Harry's just out of it. Then I think.
Oh,
yeah,
Harry.
Right? He's moving down
Harry.
Down the line.
Yeah,
married an American. Oh, the fat father and everything just drives me crazy. Philip, wake up!
He's the real prince in all this.
All right, you know what I got to do here.
The top five at five.
But you have all these rich guys. They're worth billions of dollars. They want to spend money on rocketry. I think it's great. And I told my people, let them do it. Because if they reach the moon with their money, we're going to take all the credit, okay? We're going to forget about it. Nobody's going to remember their name, but they're going to remember our name. So let them do it. Let them do it.
There's something, I don't know, that's right there in the American ethic. Don't worry about it. We'll grab all the glory. We won't do any of the work, but they'll remember our name. That's the most important thing.
Sounds like a good plan.
It's funny, A.B. Stoddard, when you hear the president say that. He is playing into every stereotype that Europeans and Asians and South Asians have had about America since day one, right? That look at those cocky SOBs.
Oh, the Space Force. it's but he also plays into every stereotype of himself when he goes to have these quote unquote campaign rallies for other candidates where he's going to like spend the evening helping to get them elected. And then they stand somewhere off the side and they're mentioned once, and the entire thing is like a stream of consciousness about all the victories he's having and Jimmy Fallon. And it's just so bizarre.
It is.
Wait, hold on.
His hair.
We want to play the drunk Trump version of Space Force from last night in South Carolina.
By the way, Henry, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force, right? Air Force? And what are we going to do? Space Force. People love it.
You know what's really interesting about the Space Force thing before we get into anything else?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading in Air Force Magazine, because I do read Air Force Magazine. I get it every month, and I get the push notifications every week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an interesting story about how the Air Force has been told that they need to, you know, start preparing for a Space Force. And they're like, well, what do you mean we're supposed to start preparing for a Space Force? Congress has to tell us that. The executive branch, you're going to create this new thing. It's not just the president says it, right, and there it is. There's like a whole process to this, because the executive branch can claim it, but they can only be funded. They can only start working on it through the funding through Congress. So they're like, at the highest commands of the Air Force, which already has a space command, mm-hmm, which would ostensibly be doing the exact same things as this Space Force would be. It's like having in the way that the Marines are the land-based forces for the Navy, or the amphibious assault forces for the Navy, the Space Force would be the Air Force's space command. But you already have that. You don't need to have a totally separate bureaucracy and add another wall to the Pentagon, if you will, to get to do that. I mean, why does he want to spend the money, A.B. Stoddard? Why?
He's just, someone has told him that they're not going to have to allocate new resources. They're going to shift them around, as you described, which in and of itself is a new bureaucratic layer of organization, and, you know, and on and on. So, and it is shifting resources from, you know, tasks that are currently being managed by, I guess, Air Force. But he is stuck on this. And if you read the reporting, you know, they've been resisting this for a really long time, and he keeps bringing it up, and that's why he sort of barked it out last week, and they're, you know, having to follow suit and look into it. But I heard General Jack Keane on Fox News Channel the other day saying, we're going to take a look at this. But, you know, I mean, it's so obvious in the way they have to respond to questions about it that they are doing everything they can to stuff it back in the file drawer.
But right.
It'll be an interesting ride ahead.
He says rich guys like rockets, so they may get to Mars first, but we'll take credit for it. It's just the whole thing is just bizarre. It's bizarre.
Well, there are other things he could be focused on, but like North Korea not denuclearizing, mm-hmm, and the immigration crisis. But he really digs the Space Force idea. He gets excited.
It's sexy. Mm-hmm. It's something new, and it's something he could, you know, be his legacy that they created the Space Force under President Trump. I think right now he is looking for, you know how they always say that guys in the second term are looking for their legacy. He's not sure he's going to make it through the second half of his first term, so he's trying to dump enough legacy in. Because the other thing that is happening here, that while all of this is going on and he's going after Jimmy Fallon, and there's other big win in the Supreme Court today. We had Brett Baer on a little bit ago, one, mm-hmm, of your colleagues from Fox News Channel that you're on that show quite a bit. He was talking about this, about all the different impacts that this particular ruling can have as it moves forward, and the impact that the Supreme Court can have now that Neil Gorsuch is on it. You're going to see a lot of 5-4 rulings. And more tomorrow, a big one tomorrow, considering unions that started right here in Illinois. But at the end of the day, there is still sitting out in the weeds Robert Mueller and the investigation. And it does appear that they believe, that the Trump White House believes, that there is something coming. Because they've already started to react, and they're you know, trying to, you know, again kind of aerate the ground around Mueller as much as they can to create instability.
It's so interesting, the parlor game of like what is the Mueller math and when does it come? I mean, when I look at the comments and the reporting, it sounds as if there is an understanding that you don't impede with the campaigns close to elections mm-hmm. by introducing something like this, the way James Comey did on October 28th right. or whenever he did that, and that Mueller would not do that. The thinking would be he would stop around September 1 to give an eight-week buffer before a November 6th election. Then we're told that the president was told by the Mueller team he could interview, if he interviewed in short order with the Mueller team about obstruction, potential obstruction of justice, that they could finish their obstruction of justice portion of their probe now and get it out of the way within 90 days. Well, we're past 90 days. If he interviewed tonight, we'd go past September 1 in terms of release of the obstruction of justice portion. So, and then there's a whole other portion has to do with other things. I think both are going to be pushed off until after November 6th. So I don't know what the administration, I mean, look, maybe Robert Mueller is going to wrap everything up and completely shock everybody, you know, soon, but it seems like such a vast, sprawling investigation. It would take me by surprise if it was all like done this summer. Before, you know, that 8 week buffer before the election. But then you have, you know, Mark Warner, I don't know if he was drunk or, you know, at that, over the weekend there was a report that he was, I guess, at Martha's Vineyard at a fundraiser, and he said, if you give me one more glass of wine, I'll tell you things that only me and Bob Mueller know. Buckle up, it's going to be a wild few months. I mean, I just look at the timing reporting, and I don't think we're looking at anything until 2019 or Christmas. But again, I have no idea.
And neither does anybody in Washington.
Right.
And I have never felt more isolated as an American. All the things I thought I knew about America and I grew up with are all at least the philosophy of America and what we stand for and where we stand in the world and what the world order, the post-World War II world order was. It's all falling apart. And maybe it was going to fall apart regardless.
It really is interesting just to see what's going to come together or further deteriorate in the months to come, because if you look at all the, like, the four-pronged, you know, war that he's, the things, the battles he's fighting right now, it's clear that that people are concerned about protectionist policies. You see it in the polling. But then you see the people who are the most hurt by it in Trump country, where they continue to stick by the president, even though they're admitting that they're going out of business or laying off people or losing, the value of their farm. We have high suicide rates among farmers. We have him threatening Harley Davidson today. I mean, it is just incredible how much tension surrounds that tariff issue
right. And
where is that going to go. And then you look at the immigration issue where the truth is Americans do not support catch and release. And if you look at the CBS poll out 2 days ago, it shows 48% want families together but sent back to their home country together or detained together indefinitely. Only 21% wants them together and then released into the country. So they can look at that and say, see, Americans largely, if you add independents to Republicans and some Democrats, don't want a catch and release. However, the strong majority wants families to never be separated from minute one when they come here. And you see the Senate trying to scramble this week because the House bills are going to fail to try to, you know, come up with a tailored approach just to the issue of the separation of families because they need political cover because it's such a toxic issue. And until and unless they come up with the remaining 2,021 kids or whoever are still separated, that is going to be the story that dominates the entire summer. And people are criticizing around the world for it. And it's this, so it's really going to be interesting to see sort of where those debates go in response to kind of public opinion and whether Republicans, just because they cower in fear of Trump, just never really push him on it and let it be, you know, let him lead on the policy and he doesn't temper any of it. I mean, I'm really watching with great interest the tariff issue, especially because Republicans are panicked, but they won't take him on in the Congress.
I saw Speaker Ryan mention it today because Harley Davidson is right there.
That's his guy.
That's
his guy.
Right there. Yeah. Exactly.
And
he doesn't agree with it.
And the president has turned Harley riders against Harley. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them to go, all right, you hate them now. And some people are just willing to do that. If he says, you know, hate them, we'll hate them. Now, the one thing I do know about America is that attention span for things like this is limited, especially in the popular culture. So I don't know that that's going to, these things are really going to be sticky in the long run. But I would like to ask you this question.
If the Iowa farmers have taken a hit already of over $650 million, the soybean farmers, you and I might stop talking about it, but they have to plan for next year.
I know, I get it.
It's actually so real in certain pockets of the country, and where that's going to go politically would be very interesting to watch.
All right. Well, I just want to know, will you share my potato in the gulag when we're sent to it for having this conversation in the first place? That's the question. All right. AB, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. AB Stoddard, you can read her on realclearpolitics.com. All right. Right now, we find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Significant weather moving toward the Chicago area. We also have a flash flood warning in effect for Kane County. Take cover.
See you later.
events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience, and it's all this August. Ooh. Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. This just in, Melania Trump will make another trip to the border and the immigration facilities for children. Sometime this week, details to be announced.
All right.
No idea if the jacket goes with her this time.
Or different jacket.
Home, different jacket. But
I really,
going.
Really don't care.
Frankie Say would be one of those.
Don't do it.
Yeah. What did Frankie say? Stop, why was Frankie always trying to tell me something?
Mm-hmm.
I had that shirt and someone had to explain to me when I was younger. I didn't know it was like a whole thing. I was like, I don't know. It's highlighted green and I liked it.
Relax. Don't
relax.
Do it.
Frankie
don't
Say
do
relax.
It.
That would be funny if she wore that. Can I send that to them?
Yeah,
to have
suggestion
her wear that?
To the right. FLOTUS's office.
I think she really likes suggestions.
Yes, she appears to really. She likes all kinds of constructive
guys
criticism.
Guys telling her what to do.
I've noticed.
She probably gets enough of that.
I like that part. We have the drunk Trump version of this from last night in South Carolina. He's talking about his wife and whether she had a facelift or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was...
He's like, don't worry, I tell you.
I tell you. If she had a facelift... Really?
Would he?
Would you really tell us if she had a facelift?
I think he'd talk more about the CCs if she got something else done. He'd be like, oh, we went up 400, boys.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's
oh, Violetta.
Chest,
hey, I understand what you did, yes. Hold on, here he is.
Mm-hmm.
My wife. She had an operation a few weeks ago. They said she got a facelift. No, I would let you know.
I'd let you know.
I'd let you know. I don't think so. I mean, if she heard that, I mean, the whole thing's got to tune out, right?
It does. I mean, he's kind of just pointing out the unfairness that she, received. Which,
oh, come on. This is, please.
I just think you don't go after her. That's always been my rule. Him, fair game. He bullies everybody. He goes after everybody on Twitter. But all the speculation.
I think she's invited something now. I think she's changed the dynamic a little bit now. But the idea that, where was she? Why weren't they telling us where she was? Why were they so secretive about it? If it's true, what he said eventually, which was that she had to have this procedure, it was a bigger procedure, and she can't fly for 30 days, then they could have told us that right off the top.
So you think it's something other than what they said?
Why was it so secretive? Why wouldn't they just say, he eventually said that, why wouldn't they say that in the first place?
I mean, maybe he just didn't even know where she was,
That's possible. I mean, they said she had wouldn't have required that level of hospitalization.
No, it wouldn't have, unless there was some other complication.
It's an outpatient procedure. Maybe an overnight stay if they just want to be extra careful.
Mm-hmm.
But not 5 nights, whatever it turned out to be.
Then she was out of the eye for like 23 days.
Yeah, and then no one else saw her. So it's like even a little work done. I mean, that'd be about right.
That's about right.
Yeah. So I'm not being critical of her.
I think you're being critical. I think he was responding to the wide range of theories about what had happened to her.
But it was
they did get a little crazy, some of them.
But they were all about him, her leaving him, right? Do we have that? Yeah, doesn't that follow on there? Because Because he, we can do that in real time. We don't have to drunk Trump that.
Because he's threatened people thinking that she wants to leave.
Right.
Right. Well, that he had abused her, though. I mean, there's some things that were a little, a little crazy. A little out there.
Is it really that crazy?
Is it? Do you think he beats her up? I mean, I don't know. Some of it just felt like it started to cross lines about the first lady that shouldn't have been crossed. And not necessarily even the work done one, but a lot of things were out there that even involved Barron and, you know, things like that that just felt a little bit like...
He's the untouchable one. And I also think Tiffany, the forgotten Trump, I think she's also the untouchable one.
She's
an adult, but she didn't do anything to deserve this crap.
She's not part of the whole administration. Right. She doesn't have a role.
And the other kids are mean-girling her. It's not nice.
And she's off to hang out with Lindsay Lohan, so let her be.
Oh, God.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, no. Really?
Tiffany, no, don't let her
that's
be.
That's a combo.
Stop that as soon as you can.
Lindsay Lohan?
Tiffany Trump
she's
and Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's out of jail, right? Is she
She's supposedly clean. And
oh, my God.
She might be avoiding America, but that doesn't mean she's avoiding members of the Trump family. So Tiffany Trump on her way to hang out with them.
She converted to Islam or something, didn't she?
She's avoiding.
She did like a whole Cat Stevens thing.
Or America's avoiding her.
That would be funny if Tiffany Trump converted to Islam and then they had to throw her out of the country.
Oh gosh, wouldn't that be perfect?
Don Jr. would be working that angle. Dad, we got to throw her out of the country now. Dad, what's the little kid's name? I never remember.
Is that the same one that shoots elephants?
That's right. Oh, God. I don't know. The whole thing is weird. Right. I think we can all agree that this is not...
There is something very strange. A strange thread that goes through all of it.
Yes. It's fun to make fun of presidents. It's always been that way. Right? That's part of the mm-hmm. the popular culture is that we don't, you know, we don't cower at that power. That's not American.
And we
cower at the power. That's why we fought the war to get rid of kings.
And
right?
Typically, presidents don't fire back to individual people on Twitter or with insults.
Hmm. You mean like Jimmy Fallon calling him not a man?
Right. By the way, we're being told that this just in that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to start receiving Secret Service protection starting tomorrow. Yeah. Interesting.
I did feel kind of bad for her.
Try to kick her out of a restaurant
now and
see what happens.
And that's what some of this leads to, unfortunately. You know, crazy.
You're talking about her son and threatening the family. I mean, that is a little bit crossing the line.
Yes. She's just doing her job. That I think that crossed the line completely, and throwing her out of the restaurant was wrong. Now the restaurant, Donald Trump says, has dirty awnings.
Classic
dirty
shooting
inside.
The messenger.
Yeah.
That's all she is the messenger.
Right.
She's doing her gig.
She's doing her job.
Right.
You know, and you just can't, and I get the idea that, you know, she's out misrepresenting things to the American people, which does happen on a fairly consistent basis.
Well, also, she is choosing her job, so, I mean, although you can have sympathy for her, she still is choosing to be there. It's not against her will.
But they don't kick her out of the right. Denying people
service
in a restaurant is a cultural touchstone in America.
Yeah, you think about where that leads in terms of you don't agree with their political beliefs, or you don't. Is there a judge who had a ruling that you don't like about abortion? So now he and his family, or she and her family, get to be kicked out of restaurants and denied service.
Right.
I mean, you should just take it down
right,
the line.
But I think it was in response to the Supreme Court's decision about the cake with the same-sex marriage. So
right. But again, you just don't. Right. This is not.
Two wrongs don't make it right. But
that
I think
is correct.
That's where I came
Thank
from.
Thank you. I found the cut.
You did.
Of the president talking about Melania's facelift. Here we go.
My wife. She said, "You know, she's very smart." She said, "You know there's nobody that can take your place, don't you?" I said, "Thank you, darling. I appreciate it." How smart is that? Now, I don't know if she believes it, but she said, "There is nobody that can take your place. He will not be successful." I said, "It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He will not be successful. There is nobody, darling, that can take your place." How smart is she? How smart? Right?
Is he married to Zsa?
Did she say that, or did he say that to himself in the mirror and then say it's his wife? I don't.
Please call me darling. Come on.
She's so smart to feed me exactly what I want to hear.
She is so smart. I'm wondering how smart she thinks she is now, right?
Yeah.
This is be careful what you wish for, if I may just quote the president. Be careful what you wish for, because it's like, okay, you know, she wanted to, she decided that Donald Trump should be, you know, a good partner and dad,
mm-hmm.
right? Or at least provider for girl and boy, for woman and boy. And now she's got all this.
Right.
I don't think she wanted any.
I'm not
this.
Sure she did.
I always go back to her face on election night.
I know.
She looked like someone had died, and possibly it was her.
Oh, hey, Judy, welcome to the club.
You got a little bit of echo there on you.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, okay, now we fixed
it. But I like it.
Yeah.
I want to always sound like that.
It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times a DJ marries a news lady. The news girl, if you like to
but
call
But not
her.
This time, I can assure you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much, Judy.
All right, can I just, first of all, can you tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Can I have some echo?
Well, I could give you a shot. Go ahead.
Okay. The head of the Senate taking a victory lap.
Yeah, victory lap.
720. To 720 of them.
Jeez.
Violetta?
I wish there was a 720 highway.
All right. That does it for another day of Broadcast Insolence. I want to thank everybody who put up with me today.
Special thanks to Cheesy Radio Guy for his contributions.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really enjoyed being here.
And our engineering staff for coming in and saving us
yes.
in the middle of all of this as well. We got White Sox tickets tomorrow to give away after 4:30.
What time again was that?
After 4:30. So, that's... And I believe, is Michael Steele tomorrow, too? Okay, hold on.
How about that?
You know what? I got ahead of myself. And maybe we'll tell you where Tom Skilling is, too. But I might be ahead of myself there, too. I don't know for sure. All right. Judy Pilak is standing by. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace, Judy.